to come to order. Come on up. We are hearing. We are hearing Appeal 10-2649 Sanders versus the City of Indianapolis. Good morning. Good afternoon.
May it please the
Good
court.
Morning.
As a lunchtime judge.
Go ahead.
Please the court. My name is Patrick Stern. I'm the attorney for the appellant Johnny Lee Sanders. And this case is pretty simple, and actually this is a small claims court case that they made a federal case out of. Mr. Sanders, through no fault of his own, the police officer involved went to the master commissioner of what we call the APC Center and issued a warrant.
Could I ask you a question? It seems to me, if I understand your briefs correctly, that this case has boiled down to Mr. Sanders' right to photocopy papers that were in the possession of the Indianapolis police.
Absolutely. You're 110% correct, Your Honor. This is a very simple issue.
Okay. So if that's what it's about, where's the federal right to photocopy? I mean, I'm having trouble seeing how this really adds up into a federal case.
The case, Your Honor, procedurally the APC Center issued an order, search warrant. So, counsel.
He never disputed in your complaint that his property was seized pursuant to a valid warrant, either.
Absolutely, Judge. Absolutely, you're absolutely correct. Your only remedy, for the most part, for an invalid warrant would be a Franks motion, but there's no criminal charge filed. And the only remedy out of a Franks hearing would be a lack of probable cause, which in the federal system triggers an indictment, but in the state court, you have no remedy. So we chose the simple remedy.
No procedure in Indiana for retrieving property that's being held too long, or there's no nexus between the property seized and the crime?
You're absolutely correct, Judge. You're absolutely none? There is none. There is none. So,
well, there seems to be a shortage of intelligence.
That's why you have a violation of the 14th Amendment. The court, the law is clear. There's procedural and there's substantive due process. It's a clear violation of substantive due process. The remedy, Your Honor, remedy.
Is the man a return for the property and a refusal? I didn't find one in the record, but I wonder.
No, when you look at they asked for.
Did anybody go and say, I want my property back?
Yes, Your Honor, he
or
did.
They just want to take pictures.
Absolutely, that's the remedy. All we asked was a hearing.
No. Did you ask for the property to be returned?
Yes.
Did you go to the police department and say, you know, well, if you want to do the copying, here's a check to cover the cost?
We asked the city attorney, and they always conditioned it. They placed the conditions. The first
attempt, what was the condition?
The first condition was that he took whatever they gave him, and he couldn't sue him, and he couldn't get any attorney's fees for having to go through that.
Well, wait a minute. Whatever they gave him?
Correct,
Your
Honor.
What were they willing to give him?
Whatever they wanted to.
Well, you know,
Your Honor, the remedy.
Could you expound on whatever they wanted to?
It was just an argument. We'll take what's ever left in the box, and we'll give him copies, or give him back his papers.
How do you know that whatever was left in the box wasn't what he wanted?
Absolutely, Judge.
Absolutely, what?
So why didn't
you
agree
correct.
To that?
I never agreed to it.
I know, but why not? If that happens to have been what he wanted.
No, he wanted return of all of his property.
Well, how do you know all the property wasn't in there?
We don't know until we see it.
Well, why didn't you ask to look at it?
I did, but they conditioned all of the return on the property on us accepting a complete release. We asked the magistrate.
Well, but that's how it works. They return your property, you release.
You ask for the property back, you get it.
What would you be suing them about if you'd gotten the property back?
They never offered the property back.
They just said they did.
They offered it on it was all conditional. It was a conditional. They said they'd give you whatever they gave you if you signed a release. You had
of
to sign
course,
the release.
Of course. That's how life is. When you go to a department store, they give you the merchandise, and you sign and you leave.
And then what they do is they tell you that if you were presented a bill, they say either you pay the bill or else. You say, well, I'm not going to pay the bill.
But you received the merchandise, so of course you pay the bill.
You have to be able to look at the merchandise first. If you told me you're going to sell me that book for $50, I'd want to see what book you're selling me. The other thing is he suffered damages from the taking of the property.
What damages if he was going to have them all returned?
The problem was the computer's been sitting there for 2 years. Also, that they took titles to cars. What happened was they
what
went out.
What business was your client in? I was having trouble.
My client was a honorably discharged. He has 100% service-connected disability. He's receiving. Arlen Specter, when he awarded him his disability, he went into the car business.
That's what I'm trying to find out. So they seized, pursuant to a valid warrant, tax records, vehicle titles, and other materials related to his business, and his business was that of a car dealer?
Yes, and they also took church records.
And so they take that. And the police, when they seize things through a valid warrant, warrants have procedures that go with them. I actually find it difficult to believe that there's no way to file a motion for return of seized property after the decision has been made not to proceed criminally.
No, there is none, Your Honor. The problem is, if I might expand, the warrant is issued in Marion County, the APC, the Adult Processing Center. I attempted to go to the person, the master commissioner. It's not a judge. It was a master commissioner. They refused. I then filed a motion with the presiding judge who supervised the APC center. City Legal came in immediately and said, you don't have jurisdiction. So then what we did was we filed a motion in small claims court asking for the documents. They then immediately removed them into federal court and moved to dismiss for lack of federal jurisdiction. The remedy in this matter is simple, Your Honor. What they should do is the matter should be remanded back to the district court, the district with the specific instructions for the district court to give them a hearing on what proper they need for the investigation.
But you don't get hearings unless you have a federally protectable right, which is why I began trying to understand what this case is about. And if you're not challenging the seizure pursuant to the warrant, then you're challenging either the duration of the holding of the property, but apparently you're not really even challenging that. You're just saying there should be some access right while they're holding it legitimately, and I'm not familiar with any federal case that has found such a right.
They're not holding it legitimately, Your Honor. He's entitled.
They got it through the warrant.
You can't keep it forever, Judge. That's a de facto forfeiture. There has to be.
But you didn't charge a taking, did you?
It was brought as a violation of the Fourth and Fourteenth Amendment. You have two different rights.
And this court has said the Fourth Amendment in the Lee case doesn't cover that kind of thing.
But it covers. There has to be an opportunity to eventually get the property back.
But you had that opportunity.
No, I didn't have that opportunity.
Yes, you did, Mr. Stern. You went there, and they said, we will return this if you sign a release. Am I wrong?
That's wrong. They said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take whatever we give you. You have to sign a release first, and we're going to take whatever we give you, and we're going to dump it on your desk, and if you don't like it, tough. You have to sign a release.
Well, now you've added you have to sign a release first.
You
didn't say that. You have not said that until this point.
That's correct. We had to sign the release, and then we had to accept what they gave us. There's no reason why they couldn't copy the property.
You said you have to sign a release first.
The attorney did. She's the fourth attorney that's been assigned to this case. There's a different attorney that represented him in Marion County Superior Court 13 where we filed the original motion. Then there was a motion filed in the small claims court in the Perry Township Small Claims Court. The city removed the case into federal court. I didn't file it with you. I didn't ask to be in federal court.
I don't blame you, Mr. Stern. I wouldn't want to be here today either.
I took $85 from my client to file the filing fee in the Marion County Small Claims Court. I figured in my crazy, crazy mind that once I took the $85, somebody at City League would say, what do you really want? And I say, all I want is copies of my documents. That's what I'm thinking. You know, it's just, and all of a sudden, I get a motion removing it into federal court.
You're in your rebuttal. Sit down, dear, and we'll.
Okay, thank you.
Come on up. Miss Dale.
Good afternoon.
Why are we hiding all this material?
Yeah. What's wrong here? Why are we here? Why wouldn't the city just copy and hand over his documents?
And send him a bill for it. You know, you don't even have to do it for free.
We are here, Your Honors, because when he filed this small claims action, he did it pursuant to 42 U.S.C. Section 1983.
But you don't have to remove. It's an option, but you don't really have to do that.
Plaintiff's counsel over and over has stated that he was required to sign a release to give over this property. That's because a lawsuit had already started. So I'm not sure how comfortable we want to get about discussing settlement, but the property is currently in the property room. It's been copied. It's waiting for him to come get it upon a dismissal of this lawsuit. He is objecting to that because he wants monetary damages.
If we dismiss this suit, he gets the property back immediately?
He cannot have the property back because the property was seized pursuant to a valid search warrant. The investigation is still pending.
How long is it going to pay? It's been going for over 2 years.
I understand that. It's part of a rather large investigation that's occurring right now in the city of Indianapolis. According to Indiana Code 353355, law enforcement is allowed to hold property under the cause where it originally began until it's disposed of.
Until the case is finished, you can drag it out for 20 years.
Yes, there are, but in a procedural due process claim such that he's trying to make, first and foremost, he can't because there's no Fourth Amendment violation. But second of all, if there's an adequate state remedy available to you.
What is the adequate state remedy?
Under two different sections of the Indiana Code.
No, don't tell me that. Just tell me what's available to him.
He could file, which he started to do, a motion for return of property.
Does he file that?
In the Marion County Court that has jurisdiction where the...
What Marion County Court has jurisdiction?
They would have been the court that signed the search warrant, so Marion County number 11. He filed the motion to return property in 24. The only reason that even matters is while it was pending, he filed this action. So the criminal court, when City Legal put them on notice that he has filed a civil action seeking damages as a result of this failure to return property... The criminal court said, well, we're going to wait for the federal court to make a decision on what it's going to do. So for 2 years, that's where we're at right now. We've attempted to negotiate, giving copies of all the property to him, but that has not been agreed to unless we're willing to also pay monetary compensation. So,
you know, it's a terrible misuse of legal resources, this case. It's just a terrible, terrible misuse of legal resources.
I didn't have much better to do anyway, so go ahead.
All right.
Plaintiff pled in his amended complaint that the property was seized pursuant to a valid search warrant. Not once has he challenged the establishment of probable cause, nor did he allege that Sergeant Buckner exceeded the scope of the search warrant when he seized the property.
Is the search warrant in the record?
No, it is not. It was. This was based on a motion to dismiss, so the only thing in the record that's really of relevance is his amended complaint, which is about four pages. Since the standard of review in this is de novo anyway.
No, I was just wondering whether the search warrant revealed what the scope of the warrant, you know, what the underlying offense for which the warrant was issued was. But it's all right. If it's not in the record, it's not in the record.
Okay. In an attempt to invoke Fourth Amendment jurisprudence, he has tried to argue this continuing seizure theory, which this court specifically rejected in 2003 in Lee v. City of Chicago. Because precedence in this court doesn't allow a continuing seizure theory to maintain a Fourth Amendment violation, plaintiff can't pursue this case in a federal court. That's key because the entire basis of his lack of process claim by itself is insufficient to state a claim against these defendants.
Who moved it into the federal system?
The city did, Your Honor.
But now you decided we don't have any jurisdiction. The city has come to that decision a bit late, haven't they? I mean,
the reason that was removed to federal court is because
the 1983.
Yeah, that was the only legal claim that was
mentioned.
Yeah, I know.
Having established over early on that we didn't have any jurisdiction, why didn't you just dismiss the damn thing?
We
don't have a jurisdictional problem. I mean, maybe you're saying that no claim has been stated if you don't think he has a Fourth Amendment interest based on Lee. But why in the world is there a jurisdictional problem if he's suing under 1983?
He just simply hasn't stated a claim under Section 1983.
Yeah, so that's 12B6.
Maybe it's frivolous, but but it's not.
There's jurisdiction, though.
Unheard of.
Well, that's exactly what the district court ruled, is that he has not pled, nor is there case law to support a Fourth Amendment violation or a procedural due process violation. And as an alternative, she also found that the detective had qualified immunity in this particular case.
It's a throwaway line.
I'm sorry?
He said it was a throwaway.
This district court did correctly dismiss plaintiff's amended complaint because there is no Fourth Amendment violation. As this court is well aware, he's never challenged the search warrant. It was valid. Probable cause was established by the master commissioner prior to it ever being served. The only way for him to invoke the Fourth Amendment is for this court to recognize for the first time a continuing seizure. In Lee v. City of Chicago, this court held that a plaintiff whose property was legally seized could not bring such a claim for unreasonable seizure if the actor later refuses to return that property. Stated another way, the failure to return property does not give rise to a Fourth Amendment violation because it does not bring about an additional seizure, nor change the character of the original seizure from a reasonable one to an unreasonable one because the seizure was already complete. Plaintiff does not have a Fourth Amendment claim in this case. His entire claim is based upon an alleged unreasonable seizure or continuing seizure of his property. He cannot establish a procedural Fourth Amendment claim because there are adequate state remedies. Plaintiff could have filed a notice of tort claim and sought a state court action, but he did not do that. It was removed to federal court because a Section 1983 claim was pled. Had he pled state law claims, there's nothing in the record to show that he ever filed a notice of tort claim, and it would have been, hopefully, dismissed at that stage as well, had it remained in the state court. Because there is no Fourth Amendment claim, no procedural due process claim, the district court correctly granted the city's motion to dismiss.
Thank you, Ms. Dew.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Stern, how much time does Mr. Stern have? 1 minute. 1 minute.
I think the city is continuing to try to say what I'm trying to say wrongly, but what I'm saying is that the problem is once they took the property, there has to be some way to get the property back. We did file. She's incorrect in her statement where the motion is filed. Actually, the wasn't issued out of courtroom 11. It was issued by the APC Center. That's the person that
said. She said it was courtroom 24. She said it wasn't courtroom 11.
It's a 23 is the presiding judge. No, she said that there's no motions in 11. 11 is the initial hearing.
Well, she said there wasn't. Mr. Stern, you weren't listening to her?
I did. She said the remedy was we filed in 23 for the return of the property. The officer didn't show up three times until he had to issue a return on show cause. Then City Legal got involved when we issued Buckner and his supervisor. We ordered Buckner to physically appear under penalties to be put in jail for not appearing. That was probably in May of 2009. That was probably a year and a half ago. The remedy that I'm asking for, Your Honor, just briefly, is the same. If you treat this matter the same as you would treat a petition for habeas corpus, that Judge Barker should have issued a return on show cause and ordered the city to show cause why they continue to need to hold the property. We would have then been entitled to file what we consider a traverse, but the matter should have never been taken up here. Judge Barker, rather than granting the motion, what they should have done was there should have been a hearing in front of the magistrate, and the magistrate should have said, give him back his property. And that's the way it's going to be. But then the city decides to remove stuff into federal court, and we're here today.
Thank you. Thanks to both Mr. Stern and Ms. Dale. The case will be taken.